It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and we've been looking at verse 17. And we've been talking about how to stay clean in this world as a child of God. We get dirty as we travel around this world, and we need a cleansing. And the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is it's like a cleanser. It cleanses us. When we get into it, the Word of God will cleanse and make us ready to face the things of this world, to go at the things of this world that would possibly want to hinder us. And Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 6 has been talking about the armor of a soldier, how that we as Christians were to have on the whole armor of God. And we've talked about now how that part of that armor is the Word of God. Now, temptation often attacks us so suddenly that it delays our reasoning. But a text of Scripture will be sufficient to drive the tempter from us. In other words, we need to be ready for when the devil comes at us. We need to be ready when something of this world tries to knock us down as a saved person. We need to be ready because God has given us everything that we need to be on the offense and the defense. We need to be more on the offense than the defense. We need to be attacking the strongholds of the devil. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about attacking the strongholds of the devil with the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, the Bible says. And we cannot do this on our own. We must have God, first of all, as our Savior. Jesus Christ lived, He died, and He rose from the grave that you and I could have eternal life, and then that we could have success. We could have what we need in this life, success over the things that come at us, the things that the devil would throw at us, things that our old flesh would want us to do that we shouldn't be doing. And we looked at one area that should be understood, that the Scriptures, the Word of God, will help us. Not only does it make us clean as we get into, the Bible says, now you're clean through the Word, Jesus said, which I've spoken unto you. Get into the Word of God and we get cleansed. It's like a cleanser that we would use to cleanse, to wash something. The Word of God washes us and helps us to be clean as we go through this world, clean so we can give out the Scriptures. Now, it's good that we train young people to do what's right. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, that doesn't mean that he's always going to be saved, that child that you're training up right will always be saved. Everybody has to make a decision on their own. You can't force that child to be saved. But I would guarantee you that if you're training that child in the Word of God, that child will always remember what God has said in His Word. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He's not going to forget what God says to him as you say it to him from the Scriptures, as you teach your child from the Scriptures what God has said. Now, thank God that many children, as they are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they're being trained properly in the Word of God, and they get saved. They know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I would like to say that it is wonderful to know that a parent has been training a child. When that child comes to a saving knowledge, when I get to witness that child coming to a saving knowledge, and that child is saved because of a parent who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they've led that child to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is, to know that your child is on his or her way to heaven. But you know, it's one thing to train up a child. It's one thing to train that child in the Word of God. But what about us? those of us who are saved and on our way to heaven, those of us who are adults, we need to be trained as well. You see, it's not really, it's not for the in a debate with God. As soldiers of the cross, we are to have the protection He provides. And that protection, one of those protections, comes from the Word of God. We are to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, we have many things that come from God to keep us safe in the battle. In the verses that we see leading up to chapter 6 and verse 17, He has instructed us to be equipped with what He has made available to us. That's God. He's made available all these things. As good soldiers, let's not forget that He gives us more than enough for victory. He adds in Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Verse 18 goes on to say, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." See, we can have this armor. We can do what God has told us to do in chapter 6 of Ephesians. We can have on the whole armor of God, but there's something that we need to add to that: praying always. Ephesians 6:18 says, we've been given in the preceding verses a list of equipment the soldier of the Lord needs for victory in the battle of life. Now, it's good for any soldier who goes into battle to fight the enemy to pray for victory. I'm talking about a soldier. Maybe to pray that he may be prepared even for death, should he be killed. But many soldiers do not always feel the need to pray. And for the Christian soldier, prayer is essential. Prayer should be above all our efforts for success, because it can give us victory when nothing else can. No matter how complete the armor is, no matter how skilled we may be in the knowledge of warfare, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer, we will be defeated. God alone can give the victory. And when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of a triumphal victory. Oh, this prayer is not to be a once-in-a-while conversation with our leader. It is to be a constant in all our battles, at all times, in every temptation and spiritual conflict. We are to pray. Luke 18, verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them." This is Jesus speaking now, a parable, "to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 goes on to say, "Pray without ceasing." Pray always. Do you ever find yourself just walking through a grocery store and start thinking about God? Do you ever walk through a grocery store and or someplace else for that matter and you just feel like praying? You just want to thank God? Now, you don't have to fall on your knees to do that. You can if you want to. I don't know. There's a problem. There's nothing stopping you from doing that, but you don't have to do that. You can pray as you walk along. You can pray with your eyes open. I once, more than once, I'd be driving the automobile and someone would be with me, and I'd say, "Brother, would you pray?" And this brother would be praying, and many times that brother, I'm thinking of him specifically, would say, "You didn't even have your eyes closed." He would be talking to me. I'd be the one driving the car. But you see, you don't have to close your eyes to be praying and talking to the Lord. You can talk to the Lord anytime, any place, no matter what's going on. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. No matter where you're at, you can be praying to the Lord, with the Lord. You can be talking with Him. It says, pray without ceasing. And notice that verse says, pray always with all prayer and supplication. In other words, with all kinds of prayer. Prayer in the closet, no matter where you're at, prayer with the family, prayer at social meetings, prayer in church, prayer at times when planned or at usual hours, and prayer when we are especially tempted and when we feel just like praying. Matthew 6:6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Say, do you have secrets from other people? Do you keep secrets hidden? Well, let me tell you one secret that you can keep hidden from other people, and that's the secret of going to your Heavenly Father in secret. You can share things with Him that nobody else knows. You can share things with Him that nobody else needs to know. That's between you and your Heavenly Father. You can share secrets with Him, and He'll never tell anyone else the secret that you're sharing with Him. And I submit to you today that there's many times maybe you've submitted and you've talked to someone else and you've shared a secret with someone in this life and they've told everyone about it. Maybe not everyone, but they may have told one or two and it gets around. But you can tell the Heavenly Father anything, and He's there and He's going to listen, and He won't tell anyone what you've told Him, because He is your Heavenly Father. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Our prayer should also be in the form of supplication for ourselves and in the form of intercession for others. Prayer is, after all, the great weapon of our spiritual armor. And by this, we can look for victory. Victory can come. David said in Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4, he said, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah." And even God tells us in Psalm 122 and verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." You see, we should not only pray for ourselves and ask God to help us when we are in trouble or anything that's going on in our lives, but we need to pray to God and thank Him and tell Him that He's been a shelter for us. Tell Him what He's done for us. Tell Him what He's done. And we need to pray for others as well. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is so important today, that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. No real peace now is going to come until Jesus comes back to set up His kingdom, but we need to pray for it so He'll come back. And I've said earlier that we need to love His appearing, because there's a crown of righteousness waiting for us when we love His appearing. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to have the blessings of real blessings of God upon you? Then pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It says, "They shall prosper that love thee." We love God, and we need to pray for Jerusalem. Well, God loves you today, and He wants to give you what you need. You need to pray, and you need to thank Him, and you need to praise Him today. And then you need to go to Him and say, "God, I need you. I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.